Everybody here is okay?
No.
We don't. Somehow we got something going on, brother.
Yeah, it's on.
Hello? Hello? Maybe I need to go a little closer. I'm sorry. Now, maybe. All righty. Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
I have just a short message on this beautiful morning that we come to praise the Lord outside. We always thank Brother Larry for reading our sermons. I was worried about the wind, so I brought us a clipboard. So before Brother Larry reads the message, let's go to the Lord in prayer on this beautiful day he has made. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, thank you once again that we could come out here and worship you and thank you and learn more about you. Please, precious Heavenly Father, let the Holy Spirit lead and guide the rest of this beautiful service. Thank you for the chance to take communion and remember Jesus as he has instructed us to do. Thank you for all these amazing things, and thank you for this beautiful creation. And in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
So now when Brother Larry is ready, he can read our scripture for today, which is Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. 3 through 11.
Thanksgiving and prayer. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, for whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Blessings word.
Thank you, Brother Larry. And I did not know what to come and speak to my brothers and sisters about here on this beautiful Sunday, and it come to me in the night one night. Heidi was asking me, what are we going to speak on? And I kept telling her I wasn't sure. And then we remembered all of the through all of the COVID, when our brothers and sisters couldn't come, and I don't think Claude and Ida missed the wonderful fellowship at all, coming out with her brothers and sisters. But we all, of course, we all did, and we all completely understand, you know, that everybody's decision. But I'm so happy that now that more and more come every week and we can worship together and our wonderful fellowship that we enjoy. And I thought that I would just have a little talk about our amazing Christian fellowship and all the good points of it. So this morning, I just have 5 short points about the true Christian fellowship and some Bible verses that go along with all that. And so I will start. And point number one, true Christian fellowship means praying for one another.
Amen.
And as Brother Larry read this beautiful letter that Paul wrote to the Philippians, and it seems very clear that all his letters was very sincere, but it seems that he had an amazing love for the Philippians, and we all know the story when he wrote it, that he was in prison, probably in Rome, and that they had sent him a nice gift, and we all have heard the story how the guy that brought the gift almost died bringing it, and It's an amazing, beautiful letter that Paul wrote to him. And now Brother Larry has read just a few short verses. But so as we look at the first point of true Christian fellowship, though Paul was confined and could not be with the Philippians, his chains could not prevent him from thinking about them and praying for them. His remembrance of them filled him with thanksgiving and joy as he thought about how God was truly at work among them, and those thoughts turned into frequent prayers on their behalf. Our remembrance of other believers should not stop with warm feelings. Our remembrance should be turned Godward into heartfelt prayers for one another.
Amen.
I personally, in the past, have struggled with going over the prayer list that Sister Becky does such an amazing job with. But as I get older now, I realize why we have a prayer list, because I can't remember what we went over in church. But I used to think, you know, God knows all of the requests, and he does, and he will work in his sovereign will. But now I took after Pastor Mike, whenever somebody calls or when he calls with the call, we just pray right then and there, and that way it's over and done.
Amen.
So the list can be helpful to bring people to mind I otherwise would have forgot. But I find it easier to pray for people as God brings them to my mind during the day. Turn your remembrances into prayer. In Ephesians 6:18, we're told to pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 17, we're told to pray without ceasing. In Romans chapter 12, verse 12, tells us to be devoted to prayer. The verses do not mean that we are to quit our jobs and spend all day, every day in prayer. The word translated means ceasing, was used of a hacking cough. Someone with a hacking cough always coming back to it after brief intervals. Thus, prayer is to be frequent conversation between us and the Lord. And the subject of our prayers should often be other Christians and their walk with God.
Amen.
Sometimes, as I mentioned earlier, we may wonder, why do I need to pray? God already knows everything, and he's going to accomplish his sovereign will anyway. So what's the point of praying? But the prayers of the saints are part of God's method for accomplishing his sovereign will. And he uses prayer to change the heart of the one doing the praying.
Amen.
As well as to work in the hearts of others, as you bring your requests before God, your motives are exposed. You quickly realize that you can't honestly bring certain requests before God because your thoughts about a brother or sister aren't pleasing to him. If you're inclined to pray a bad prayer against someone, God will convict you and ask, is that really what you want me to do to this brother or sister? If we're having trouble with another believer, even if it's your mate or family member, pray often for that person. It's hard to stay angry at someone you're praying for daily. James Boyce states, I think that 90% of all the divisions between true believers in the world would disappear entirely if Christians would learn to pray specifically and constantly for one another.
Amen.
Point number two of true Christian fellowship. True Christian fellowship means serving God together.
Amen.
We've already seen how, from day one, the Philippians joined Paul in the cause of the gospel. They were active in serving the Lord. The concept of being a church member who just attends a church service once a week would have been completely foreign to them, and rightly so. It should be foreign to us also. Christ never saves anyone so they can just add church attendance to their list of weekly things to do. Nor does he save anyone so that they can live happier lives that are just as they were before. Every believer is saved to serve God. The church is a fellowship of those who serve Jesus because he bought them with his blood. That service sometimes includes being persecuted. Paul mentions how the Philippians were partners with him in his imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel in verse 7, he tells them, "For to you it has been granted for Christ's sakes not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake." Can you picture the Philippian church taking out an ad in the paper to market their church? "Come join the church. You'll love suffering with us. We have the best persecution program in town." I apologize. The Christian church is engaged in mortal combat for the souls of men and women. The truth of the gospel is under attack, not only from outside the camp, but also within. Thus, it needs to be defended. There are many today who say that we should never be negative, that we should only emphasize loving one another. Those who dare to confront serious heresies get labeled as decisive and unloving. But Paul spent a good deal of time in his letters defending the gospel, often against false teachers in the church. So did John, Peter, and Jude. So must we if we want to be faithful to Christ. The gospel also needs to be confirmed. Defense focuses on negative task of confronting error. Confrontation focuses on the positive task of setting forth the truth of the gospel and its implications for how we should live. The gospel is confirmed through the church when our lives show the fruit of godliness, as we've seen in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 6. Even though it is more positively focused, the confirmation of the gospel is also a battleground. The enemy hates it when God's truth is set forth in a clear, practical manner, because Christians start dealing with their sin and living holy lives, and it draws fire and creates controversy. The point is, every Christian has a role to fulfill by serving in Christ's army. The Lord saved you to serve, and serving him isn't always easy and free from strife and conflict, but it knits us together in fellowship. When we join in serving him, true fellowship means praying and serving together, serving Amen. Christ Jesus together. Number three, true Christian fellowship means trusting in God's sovereign working in one another. Let's look at verse 6 from the angle of fellowship. It means that I can trust God to work in the lives of my brothers and sisters. God began their salvation, and he will finish the job. Fellowship often breaks down because I see another Christian isn't exactly where I'm at on some issue. Whether it's how to interpret doctrine or how to live on some issue, some Christians feel threatened who are different than we are. So I take it as my task to change that person. And sometimes that causes rejection with that person and fellowship is hindered. Verse 6 means that I'm not responsible to change others. I'm responsible to minister God's love and truth to others in a sensitive manner. If a brother or sister is clearly wrong about a major truth, or in sin, or immature in the way he's living, I'm responsible to come alongside and do all I can to help change and grow. If it's a serious situation or sin that he's involved in, I may eventually need to separate it. But at the same time, I can trust that it's God's job to change the brother or the sister.
Amen.
If God has truly saved him, God will finish the job. so I can relax, accept him where he's at or her in the Lord, encourage him in the areas of weakness, but also learn from him in the areas where I need to grow. But I am not the Holy Spirit, and it only serves to break fellowship when I take on that role myself. This also applies to husbands, wives, and to parents and teenagers. You can and must trust God to change your mate, your kids, and your parents. True fellowship means partaking together of God's grace. Paul saw the Philippians as partakers of grace. With him, just as Paul, the persecutor of the church, had found God's undeserved favor at the cross, so had the Philippians. So have we all who have met Christ. Every true member of the church is a partaker of God's grace. The more I grow in Christ, the more I sense how much grace I needed to get saved, and how much grace I need daily to go on with Christ. And the more I should view my fellow saints as fellow sinners, who need not only grace from God, but also grace from me as we labor together for Christ.
Amen.
Viewing ourselves and other Christians as fellow partakers of God's grace humbles us and puts us on the same level. Paul could have viewed himself as God's greatest apostle to the Gentiles and the Philippians and his converts. Paul may have said, "Just think where you'd be today if I hadn't come and given the gospel to you." He may have said, "And don't forget how much I suffered in the process." It's interesting to trace chronological how Paul referred to himself in three of his letters. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 9, he said that he was the least of the apostles. Later in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8, he said that he was the least of all saints. Finally, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, he called himself the chief of sinners. Of course, grace doesn't mean that we tolerate sin and shrug off sloppy living. We sometimes need to confront. We need to help one another face and overcome faults. But if we remember that we are all partakers of God's undeserved favor, we'll give one another more room to grow, we'll be more patient and forbearing with one another. True Christian fellowship is a sharing together of God's abundant grace. Thus, true fellowship means praying and serving together. It means trusting in God's faithfulness and grace. And the last point, number 5, true Christian fellowship means heartfelt affection for one another. Paul calls God as his witness of his longing and affection for the Philippian believers, not because they would be prone to doubt him, but because he felt so deeply. Affection is the word for bowels or inner vital organs. It emphasizes the emotional aspect of Paul's love for those people who were so dear to him. The Apostle Paul was unashamed and very emotional in his love for God's people. He told the Thessalonians that he had cared for them as tenderly as a nursing mother. Then he said, "Having thus a fond affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us." Sin divides us from those who are different from us, racially, culturally, and in other ways. But the love of Christ unites us, not just intellectually, but with heartfelt love. Such love isn't manipulative, trying to use the other person to our own advantage. It truly seeks God's best for the other person, even at a personal inconvenience or sacrifice. Now, here is the hard question. If you're honest, you wrestle with this at times. How can I develop a heartfelt love for a Christian who I find it hard to be around? Well, let's be honest. It's not easy. All of the factors of fellowship I've mentioned go into the solution. Pray diligently for the person. Work with him in the gospel. Trust God to do his work of sanctification in him. Ask him to share his testimony or background, and recognize that both of you are partakers in God's grace.
Amen.
But here is another factor mentioned in verse 8. Love him or her with the affection of Christ Jesus. J.B. Lightfoot paraphrases, "Did I speak of having you in my own heart? I should rather have said that in the heart of Christ Jesus, I long for you." He also goes on to say, "The believer should have no yearnings apart from the Lord. His pulse beats with the pulse of Christ. His heart throbs with the heart of Christ. Jesus Christ loved that difficult brother or sister enough to go to the cross for him or her. He can love them through me. As I obey by judging my sinful thoughts towards the other person and acting in love, the feelings of love will almost invariably follow. But even if they don't, I need to obey."
Amen.
So in closing, brothers and sisters, I would like to quickly share about the prayer warriors. And you all were so kind to pray for my Uncle Wayman that passed away about a month or so ago. And it is an amazing story of Christian fellowship and you prayer warriors and prayer warriors all over. But my uncle was a man of the trades. He was a welder up in the shipyards in Ohio. And he never had a mean thought or anything. He was a very peaceful, gentle man. But he didn't have Christ in his life, his whole life. So after he had gotten almost near 90, my dad and me and other people had pestered him about Christ to the point where he didn't want to hear no more about it. And we thought, oh my, this is a terrible situation. But he always, his whole life, lived by himself. He never married, never had any kids, and he lived in little cabins, and he enjoyed life to the fullest. But he didn't have Christ in his life. And it is an amazing story that you could be peaceful and kind and generous. He took care of his mom clear to the end. He took care of his nieces and nephews and everybody that needed, as they were young and needed stuff. But he didn't know God or believe in God. So me and my dad, we pondered, you know, this is a terrible situation. So first dad, that had passed away last September, he decided the first thing he would do is he would call their only sister. And she lives down near Tunnelton. She lives near Fellowsville. And we just called her Aunt Sis. Her name is Vivian. So Vivian, a true Christian woman, she decided the only thing to do, as she pestered him, and he wouldn't pay attention to her either, the only thing to do was to take it to the Lord in prayer. So she prayed every day for him for, wasn't it 6 years? Every day, probably morning and night for 6 years. So seemingly to all of us, nothing was happening or changing on the home front. Well, when his health deteriorated to the point where he had to come and live with my dad, his family doctor decided to put him on hospice. So the good Lord knows the program. He knows who to send. So here come, my Uncle Wayman was a veteran of the Air Force, and here God sent the hospice minister, and he was a veteran of the Navy. And he was a very nice guy, but he wasn't pushy. So he knocks on the door and he says, "Hey, can I just come in and talk?" He's not forceful. He's not, you know, sharing all the stuff up front. Well, Wayman, as God knew in the Holy Spirit, he was very into that situation. He thought, yeah, this is great. So Wayman and Dad and the pastor talked, and it took several visits, and the pastor finally sprung it on him. So here's why I'm here, brother. I want you to go to heaven. I want you to have a relationship with God and know that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Well, Wayman, eventually, after several more visits, he gives his heart to Jesus, and he becomes saved. But you could imagine, you know, Aunt Sissa's amazing love, you know, and what an amazing thing that she prayed diligently for 6 years, and it finally come to pass. So the Saturday night before he passed, something happened to him physically. We don't know really what it was, and we couldn't make him out very well. But little Courtney asked him, "Do you want to go to the hospital?" "No." So he couldn't walk or get up anymore. So we four of us carried him to his bed the last time, and the ladies all got him situated. And sort of looking at the ladies and sort of looking at the ceiling, he said, "I am not afraid." So praise the Lord for such an amazing story, such a kind man. And it's what a way to know. I can't remember the verse right off. I should have looked it up, you know, that up in heaven, Jesus and the angels sing and have a big celebration, every soul that comes to the Lord. So let us end in prayer, and then I'll turn this service back over to Pastor Mike. Oh, precious Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you that we can study your word, and we can learn more about you, and we can learn how to go about our lives. Thank you, Father, that your word is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Thank you that we can always rely on it to know what you want in our lives. Thank you, Father, that we can come to you personally ourselves, and we can pray, and we can talk with you, and we can give our petitions to you, and we thank you for being sovereign. We thank you, Father, that we always don't know the big picture. We do not always understand, but we are sure of one thing, Father. You do know the big picture, and you know the best for us in whatever it is. Thank you so very much for sending your Son Jesus to earth so that our sins can be forgiven. We thank you for him every day, and in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Is it okay if I sing?
We're not done yet, Jan. Where are you going? Just kidding. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I'm asking, is it okay if I sing?
Sure.
All right.
She's going to sing a song.
We're not done.
No, we're not done. I was going to sing this song a couple weeks ago, and I just couldn't say it when the time came, and I think it's because that the Lord wanted me to sing it today after Joe's message. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago when we had the cleanup day here, Joe and I were in the basement. He was working on the furnace, and I was working on the kitchen. And we got to talking about his Uncle Wayman. And this song came to me then. And I thought, you know, how oftentimes we get discouraged and we give up and we quit praying for people when we've prayed for years and years. And I say this, and I don't mean to be less than humble, but I don't think anybody else, you know, can say that they've prayed longer than I have for my husband. And, you know, for him to finally come to the Lord was just such a great, great thing. And I have to share with you what he said yesterday morning. I was having a really bad morning with a lot of pain and stuff. And we had just talked to my sister, Donna Jean, and she'd been having so much trouble. And so he was sitting over there in his chair, and I was sitting in the recliner with my vibrating massage seat on, trying to get myself together. And so he just spoke all of a sudden right out of the blue. He said, "Hon, I just want to tell you, I just finished praying for you and Donna Jean." Well, of course, that just, you know, that just kills my heart. I mean, you can't imagine how it is to wait for 50-some years to hear somebody say something like that. But anyway, the song that what I was going to say was Pastor or Brother Joe's message. You know, it lays such a responsibility on all of us. I mean, it's God's word is so strong about how we are to witness and to love and give over to others so that they can, as Pastor Mike has often said, so that we can present Jesus to others and they can see and desire to have that very thing that we have and that we celebrate. But for those who might have been Brother Wayman, who don't come to the Lord, then we let those people go. And as believers, we know that it's too late. It's over. And so the only time we have is now. And pester. If we have to pester, pester. I mean, you know, try to be, and I don't mean that to where someone wants to run the other way when they see you coming. But, you know, try to find ways to bring the Lord into our everyday conversations with other people that need to know about the Lord so that they can realize it's, you know, it's an everyday comment to us. It's not just reserved for Sundays. Let me wipe away tears here. Okay, and then I expect to sing after this. I'm sorry. Okay, this song you've heard me sing before, but it just says it so clearly that I can never sing it without thinking about all of the ones that each and every one of us have that are lost, that need the Lord out there. And maybe, as the, you know, often phrased comment goes, you may be the only Bible they ever read. Or you may be the only person that even brings up a hint of Jesus to their life. And so that's what our responsibility is. We don't ever want to see anybody standing outside, okay? Judgment is surely coming to you and to me. We will be judged that morning for all eternity. Some will go into heaven, others will be denied. Will you be in that number, standing outside? Standing outside the portals, standing outside denied. Knowing that with the demons, ever you shall abide. Never to know the beauties waiting the sanctified. Oh, what an awful picture standing outside. Standing outside while loved ones enter the pearly gate, knowing that there forever you will then separate to be away from loved ones and by your God denied. Oh, what an awful picture standing outside. Can you not see the picture of those who are lost in sin, standing outside the portals without a hope to win? Souls crushed with deepest sorrow, why without a friend to guide? Oh, what an awful picture standing outside.
All right, let's close with our final hymn, number 238. God be with you. 238. Well, Jan's getting there. Pray for the Hancocks as they're coming back from vacation today. That's why they're not here. And I'm sorry they missed.
They lifted match. Up in prayer then, that's yeah. For sure.
Right.
Mike?
Yes.
I've got one thing.
All right.
Ethan was with us this week, and night before last, as he went to bed, we had watched a movie, and there was an old man that was dying, and a young boy had befriended him and everything. But anyway, he said, what's it like Will we go to heaven? Or will it just be dark when you die? So I had to explain that all to him, you know, and he said, will I get to see God? And I just thought, you know, this little boy just keeps asking question after question, and what a joy it is to be able to tell him these things. In fact, he was telling me about the flood, so I think he's getting something somewhere else. So, anyway, I just wanted to share that.
Yeah. We need to be thankful for anybody that is willing to take the time, whether it's family or friends or whatever. I am certainly here, and I know a lot of you are probably here because of someone else taking the time. So that's Christian Fellowship. Anybody else have anything before we close?
I forgot to give my praise, and I'll be glad to do that.
I think Pastor Mike already called everybody and told you that I had a good mammogram on Wednesday, and I was so grateful, and I praised God for all the, you know, all the times that he has blessed me and kept me from cancer when so many of my family have it so abundantly, it seems like. And also, I wanted to let everybody know that our grandson Chris and his wife and children, they all got moved to Virginia. And for all of you that have prayed these many months where that whole family has been, you know, so separated and on the go, I was so afraid that they would get sidetracked, you know, and not get everything squared away. But they're all back together in the new house there in Virginia. Well, actually on the edge of Virginia. It's in North Carolina. But they're all good. And so thank you for your prayers in that regard and for my mammogram prayers.
Thank you. All right. 2:38. Hit it, Jan. God be with you till we meet again. By his counsel's guide uphold you. Some prayer, please. Oh, yeah.
We want to be able to hear what you're saying.
Yeah, hold it up your place.
Yeah.
Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for the privilege, the honor, and the desire that we have together to learn more of your will and your ways. Help us, Father, to strengthen our faith. And we know, Lord, that salvation comes through faith in you. And all of our promises that we have to lean on. And Father, we do ask you to bless each and everyone that's here and their families, all on our prayer chain. Father, we just have so much to be thankful for. And just help us, Lord, to grow in your ways and will every day. And Father, we do just ask you again to be with the ones that are unconcerned about their soul and where they're going to spend eternity. We just pray, Lord, that somehow someone would, you just send someone, and through the Holy Spirit, Lord, they will see their need to come to you before it's too late and they'd be standing outside. Help us, Father, that we might be that one that would set the example and draw near to you, Father. And we do praise and thank you for touching our lives, and again for the many blessings and promises that we have to lean on. We praise and thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, your Son and our Savior. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Thank you, Joe, for a great message.
Yes.